Hello and welcome. My name is Christopher Chandler.
And my name is Chris Schauer. And we are Generally American. In our podcast, we discuss events, culture, whatever else we want from a generally American perspective.
From our differing viewpoints, our goal is that we can offer others and ourselves nuanced opinions on fascinating topics related to the U.S.
We invite you to be part of the discussion, and we hope that you'll stick around to see where the conversation takes us. So let's dive in.
And we're live. We're back.
We sure are.
Yeah.
How was that extra week?
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, we haven't been on a very good schedule for the past couple of weeks. I guess it's my fault. Because I got sick at the beginning of April. I was going to say May. I think I got sick at the beginning of April. Then I moved last week, so now we're in a new apartment, finally. I still have to clean the old apartment, but so hopefully things will settle down and we'll be on a regular schedule until I go to the U.S. in July.
Yes, we are inconsistently consistent, so
yeah,
but we'll always be back in some form.
Yeah, but we're definitely here, so I definitely missed it. But sticking with tradition, I'm still more or less in the same city. Well, I'm actually in the city next over, so it's like 2 miles from where I used to live, so the weather's pretty much the same. However, there are a boatload of trees around my apartment, which is awesome because the apartment is incredibly cool, even when it gets hot. So even when it gets up there into like the 80s and 90s Fahrenheit, or like the 20s and 30s in Celsius, it's still pretty cool here. It's been raining a lot though, but because there are a lot of trees here, I hear a lot of birds, and I found out that we live near an airport.
Oh joy.
Yeah, I mean it's about like 5 or 10 miles out, but we definitely hear the planes a lot around here. Not like in our old place. So my wife and I were sitting in our bed, and like, is that a plane? I was like, yeah, I think that's a plane. So we hear like 3 or 4 planes a day. It's not too loud, but it's definitely noticeable. And there's a church right down the street, so we hear the bells every morning at 7.
Oh my, they actually ring them every morning?
Yeah.
Now that you mention it, I don't know if I've actually heard church bells before.
Oh, they ring them all the time. But it's beautiful, honestly. I don't actually mind it. It's part of the culture, I would say. So it's not too invasive.
And they do this 7 days a week?
I don't know if they do it every single day, but they definitely do it every Sunday. And then I think once a day. I can't remember the times, though. It's different for each church.
I was going to say, I know it defeats the point, but I'm fine Monday through Friday. I work at 6 a.m. That's fine. Do not wake me up at 7 a.m. on Sunday, or I'm going to start thinking some questionable things.
Yeah. In some cities, they actually have like the Muslim call to prayer, which is something you have to get used to. I used to work in a city where they would do that 5 times a day. And it was very loud. So, because they do it with like a megaphone, and it's pretty loud. But I prefer the church bells. But yeah, so that's the weather report here.
Well, I'm kind of jealous of the rain. We've gotten a little bit here, but it's always hard to get a good sustained rain. I think we've had one or two.
Mm.
Spring has been trying really hard to break on through. We're about to go into a week of a lot of wind and gray and probably spots of rain here and there. But that is just how it is this time of year. And I can already kind of see on the 10-day forecast, once we get on the other side of it, I think we're going to be getting consistently mid-70s for our high for a little bit. And then hopefully June comes and it's warm, because I'm tired of... It's that annoying part in the year where I want to put away my jacket, but it's just cold enough sometimes that I need it out sometimes.
Speaking of spring, finally, I'm going to get, like, I'm going to do an allergy test next week, so.
Oh, the one where they put you on your stomach and they prick your back?
Yeah, something like that, or my arm, I don't remember.
Well, my wife, if they're testing enough things, they're going to use your whole back.
My wife has been asking me for, like, for the better part of, like, 10 years now to do it. And every spring I die because of my allergies, and I just refuse to go.
Well, there, yeah. if it's that, I don't know if they do this over there, but they might put you on a series of allergy shots.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be a surprise, so I'll let everyone know.
And if they, so when I started allergy shots as a kid, they had me come in twice a week, and each time I would get two shots. And then the longer you do it, they up the potency, and then you come in like once a week, and then once every 2 weeks, and then eventually yeah. you're just done.
Yeah, they talked about that, you know, like increasing like your sensitivity or decreasing your sensitivity. I can't remember.
It works really well, and it's like a permanent for life thing. So
yeah, I hope so. But with that being said, we're into the main topic, which is, what is it?
Which is
the gig economy.
The gig economy.
So it does kind of fit in with a couple of topics that we've kind of talked about, like with food and tipping, mm-hmm. but not directly.
And technology to an extent.
That's definitely true. So how would you define, like what is a gig? I guess we could start there. Like, what is a gig in of itself?
So I feel like, excuse me, I feel like the term gig has been kind of, I don't want to say hijacked, but the primary definition of it has changed over mm-hmm. recent years. So I would say gig used to just be like a casual way to refer to a job, or mm-hmm. if you were in the music industry, or you were some kind of performer and like, hey, I got a gig over at so and so theater, like, hey, you got a job to go play at the theater, cool. And I think that's kind of where the gig economy took it from, is like, hey, it's sporadic work, you take it where you can get it. Nowadays, I think it also means work when you want to. So if you want to open one of the gig apps, Uber, Uber Eats, DoorDash. I'm forgetting the grocery shopping ones, but there's plenty of grocery shopping ones. You just open it, say you're ready, or you schedule a time and you can go. And that's the big selling point these days, is the work when you want.
Isn't that like the same thing as freelance, though?
I mean, it is from a. I mean, I've done it. The paperwork I got, the tax paperwork I got, was for a 1099 independent contractor. So it's, as far as the government's concerned, you're self-employed.
Yeah, that's a really good way actually to refer to a gig. Definitely when I was growing up, like, a lot of these things, a lot of these apps didn't exist. I mean, the concept of a smartphone didn't really exist anyway, so there were no apps. But I guess for me, in my understanding, a gig was more or less like an odd job you would do, or as you said, it was something like related to music. You know, you're going to go perform on stage somewhere with your band. That would be your gig. And this whole term of like gig economy has really taken off in the past couple of years, especially during the pandemic. I think it's kind of funny that we attach the word economy to it. It's definitely fitting because it's in of itself its own world, basically.
Oh, absolutely. And there's, just like everything else, there's market trends and there's hotspots and trends and all these things that they have to worry about.
And I think the biggest one, it's probably Uber, the one that really started that you mentioned. And it's funny because Uber is basically a taxi service, for like a better term. And because of that, they've had like a lot of beef with like the established taxi industries in various cities in the US. I've personally never used it. I've never used any of those apps like Uber or Lyft. However, like, a lot of my family members do use it. and talk about a lot when I'm in the US. What has been your experience?
So I only really use it for when I'm on vacation. Because I don't, you know, I'm not a person that goes out and drinks a ton, mm-hmm. and, you know, needs help to get home a lot. It's been interesting to watch the evolution. I think I've mentioned this before, but I've been to Las Vegas like 4 or 5 times now. And the first time I was there was something like 2016, 2017. And I definitely saw more taxis than anything else. And then every time after, even all the signage and all the casinos is Uber / Lyft / taxi. Like, you see the word taxi less and less. Basically see almost no taxis picking people up. Like, it's the new normal. It feels like taxis are dead. I'd be curious to see how that is in some place like New York, where it was such a, like, hailing a cab was such a big thing. And part of the hailing a cab thing was, you know, you could just do it when you needed it. But the public transit over there is also really good, so maybe it's not that big of a deal.
I mean, neither of us are from New York, but I would say it's safe to say that the whole, like, hailing a cab and, like, cab culture, taxi culture is a fixed part of, like, the cultural landscape of New York. Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Taxi Driver take place in New York? Famous movie.
Oh my gosh. I think so. I haven't seen the movie, but I know of the movie.
Let me double check, because I don't want to say anything that's wrong. But it is a super famous movie. Yeah, it does take place in New York City, like everything else. It's a psycho thriller from like the 70s. Go and watch it. Super interesting. But the whole movie is basically about a taxi driver and the things that ensue. So, like, the taxi culture there is super important. And as you said, public transport, public transportation is very important in New York. Not so much in other parts of the US, especially not where I'm from. Every time I go back, it's pretty much the same.
I remember Boston's being really good, but I haven't been to Boston in about 20 years.
Well, I've never been to Boston either.
I want to say it's a great town, but I don't know how discerning 10-year-old me was.
Yeah, but it's I guess the reason why I mentioned that is, do you feel like there's any difference between like Uber and just getting like a regular taxi?
Or
do
100%.
Really? Like what?
So I have been in a taxi. I've never ordered a taxi, and I've been in a taxi maybe 4 or 5 times in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad, who is like, he's a very comfortable person. He finds what he likes and he sticks with it. And even after like Uber and those things started taking off, he had mm-hmm. certain taxi drivers he liked, and there were taxi services in town. So you could call them when he wanted to go out drinking for a night. He would call them, and sometimes he would sit at home for 50, 60 minutes waiting for the taxi to come.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, he would just, they'd tell him it's going to be 50, 60 minutes, and he'd just, you know, grab a beer from the fridge and, you know, get started on the night. And he was fine with that. And then he finally got pushed into like, look how easy this is. Look how much better this is. And it even got him to switch. And it's one of those things, like, I feel like I can kind of use my dad as a measuring stick. If even he's willing to give it a try, like, step out of his comfort zone for it, it's probably a good sign that this is like a new normal, or at least something worth taking a look at. That's just thinking about it now. Like, I can't even imagine like calling a taxi service and waiting an hour. That just is horrible.
Honestly, it is kind of mind boggling. Like, I've ordered a taxi plenty of times here. Generally they're pretty quick. But truth be told, I only ever use a taxi when I go to the airport. So you have to kind of order those a day in advance, or at least you should, because you run the risk of them being booked out, and then you're just kind of out of luck there. But I guess one of the other differences between like Uber and just like regular taxis is, as we alluded to earlier, it's a gig. So you're like, you're self-employed and you're more or less at the mercy of the customers in terms of getting paid. Because as I understand it, they're heavily reliant on tips, aren't they?
Yes. So I have done DoorDash and I've done Uber Eats. I technically qualified to do normal Uber, but it just wasn't something I wanted to do. Just kind of judging on the pay breakouts from Uber Eats and DoorDash, Uber pays you a little bit better base, I'm guessing. But something like DoorDash, they can pay you as low as $2 for a delivery.
Which is basically nothing.
Yeah, and the way those work is you kind of, it's like a game, basically. So it'll send something to your phone. And I haven't done DoorDash in years, so these may have changed a little bit, but this is how it was. If it was $7 or more, they might be hiding the tip. So let's say it was, yeah. They send you, hey, we'll pay you $7 to go to McDonald's and deliver this 3 miles total, right? There might be hidden tip in there, and that's how they incentivize you to try and take things. Because like, oh, it could be a $50 tip. You don't, and every now and again, you would get someone who just decided to, you know, make someone's day and do like a crazy tip. But sometimes, or a lot of the time, those cheap orders, they get rejected, and then they would go back into the pool. DoorDash would add a quarter, 25 cents, to the pay and send it to the next driver. And they keep doing that until someone says yes. So the people who don't tip on their orders, their food usually takes a while to get there and it comes cold.
And that is just so odd to me that everything is, I don't want to say it's an honor system because it's not really actually an honor system, but it kind of feels like that because it's basically nothing gets done unless you pay gratuity. And yeah. And that's pretty much how the whole system, like all these gigs work. So it's not like you work for this app and they give you, I don't know, like $15 an hour or whatever. And that's it. It's basically you get like a low pay and you pray that you get tips from them. Which is definitely getting out of hand. And every time I go back to the US, it gets worse and worse and worse about how much you're supposed to tip and who you're supposed to tip. Definitely not a fan.
Yeah, and there's the screens these days,
mm-hmm.
where you know you can put your credit card in, but it always has a tip question on it, and you know I don't love it, but I understand the reality of like tipping servers. So you know I understand if I'm going out to eat, I'm tipping 20%. I don't think I've ever not tipped 20%. Like. I feel like the server would have to like punch me in the face for me to not just auto 20%. Like that's just how it is. But it is crazy going somewhere like a poke bowl shop or a burrito shop or a Subway, and you having to tip for that. Like I know you had to do the work, but that's your job. Like I've been a cook. I didn't get tips. And it took me longer to make those things than, you know, putting slices of sandwich meat and toppings on a sandwich and wrapping it.
Yeah, I mean, I went to the U.S. last time I was there was in 2022, so almost about 2 years ago. And I'll never forget that I ordered a sandwich at some store in, like, the airport. And they turned the screen to me, and on the screen was like, would you like the tip? I was like... like, what for? Like, I just ordered food. Like, I didn't do anything special. I just gave them my order, paid $20 or $15, whatever it was. And then they wanted 20% on top of that. Which, to me, is just asinine. There's definitely, like, a lot of fatigue involved. And so that's one of the biggest problems of, like, a lot of these gig things is, you know, if you go to, like, certain neighborhoods or certain types of customers, you can really make a lot of money. But it's really... you're at the mercy of fate, basically. But kind of going back to Uber a little bit, I think it's really interesting because for all intents and purposes, it's perfectly legal in the US. So, yes. Like, although a lot of the taxi cab companies have striked against or because of Uber, saying that it's not fair. Because as far as I know, the taxi drivers have to be licensed. So you have to, like, you know, have a license to be able to be a taxi driver in the US. And the same is true in Germany. So you can't, like, you can't just, like, sign up for an app and just drive your car here. Like, that doesn't work like that. But in the US, they're a little bit more lax. And so Uber tried to, I'm not up to date on this, but I definitely know that they got in a lot of trouble in Frankfurt. Because Uber just basically came over here, they set up shop, and they didn't care about the laws, and they just let people drive. And Germany is very strict, like really strict about these things. And basically you have people just driving as taxi drivers with no insurance. So if they get like in an accident or something, then, you know, like I said, they're just kind of out of luck. And so I think Uber was banned in Germany from operating for a while. Then they came back, then they got banned again. And now I think they're only allowed to operate in like certain cities. But Uber is pretty much like non-existent here, outside of like the bigger cities.
That's interesting, especially if it's, on for an insurance reason. So when I got active with DoorDash and Uber, they basically make you take a picture of your driver's license and your insurance, and it has to get verified before they'll let you drive.
But they verify you as a person, not necessarily if you have qualifications.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they'll let basically anyone do it. They just... driver's license and insurance. If you can do that. And they do also make you submit what your car is and the... because they don't want older cars. They want you to have a nicer car.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different tiers of Uber and Lyft service. So if you have like a really nice luxury, you know, many seated vehicle, you qualify for some more expensive rides.
Oh, I didn't know that. I double checked. So everything I said about Uber in Germany is correct, but they were forced to operate as, and they still are, as like a legal taxi company. The way a lot of these gig apps work is it's basically like a marketplace. I would like to refer to it like that. Is they provide you with the platform, they get you a gig, and then they take a percentage of that. But in Germany, Uber has to operate as like a regular taxi service. And so I think they have a different name here. I don't know what it is. But because we have public transportation in Europe, not just Germany, these things aren't really that attractive. I can't remember the last time that... I don't know if I've ever heard of anyone ever ordering anything like Lyft or Uber here. It's either you take your bike, you take a train, or you just call a taxi, like a regular taxi.
It does seem like a extremely American thing.
It's definitely... I think a lot of these things are very American. Like a lot of these like gig economy things that kind of... exist in the US, and they spill over into like other countries.
So bringing it back to something I've talked about before, what I do working in the world of freight brokerage, Uber, DoorDash, all these things are basically how the freight brokerage market has operated on a micro scale.
Oh, okay.
So in both instances, you are hiring an entity, not as an employee, just as for a single gig, for a one-time use, to go to some place, pick something up, deliver it to another place. That thing is being either food or a passenger. And just like in the world of freight brokerage, there are certain standards, depending on the market you're in, where perhaps $2 a mile to drive from St. Louis to somewhere in Florida might be horrible, but maybe driving $2 a mile from Florida to St. Louis, that might be good. The same, and you would kind of know, like, oh, I don't want to pick up from that place. That's awful, but that place is worth dealing with, blah, blah, blah. The same thing would kind of happen on a micro scale, especially for DoorDash, when it tells you, hey, you're going to go pick up like an Arby's meal. because you get a feeling for, okay, $7 for 2 miles, that's probably worth it, but $7 for 7 miles, probably not worth it.
Yeah, probably not.
And you were like, oh, well, last time I was at Arby's, it took 40 minutes, so that's not worth my time. Or, oh, McDonald's, they're super fast. They're great. I'll take this for a little bit cheaper than I normally would. Like, it really is funny, because I've mentioned this before, but when I interviewed for my first freight brokerage job, I brought up my experience with DoorDash and kind of how I saw it, and I had no idea. I was basically describing the entire industry on a micro scale. It really is like one-to-one. And the freight brokerage industry was a thing that I think has been in our country for about 40 years. I think it was a big change in how the industry did it, and not necessarily for the best, but it is what it is. I really do wonder if when these things initially took off, if that's kind of what they looked at. Because, you know, from a zoomed out perspective, it's all logistics. It's all just a logistical business.
That, honestly, that's a really good way of looking at it. I've never thought about it that way. The way I've always looked at a lot of these gig economy things or gig jobs, gig like apps or companies, is they don't want to really employ people because people cost money. They want to give you the opportunity to earn money and take a cut of that. And I think it's pretty much the same with like the freight industry, the way you described it, is that they don't necessarily want to employ the drivers, because keeping somebody, you know, on staff costs a lot of money. But just offering them like a job here or a job there, you know, is, I would say, a lot cheaper.
Yeah. And the mentality of it from like the DoorDash or from like a freight brokerage standpoint is like, you know, people will say like, well, why should you get a cut? You know, I'm doing all the work. And then the cynical and pretty dismissive answer that is usually in the trucking world from freight brokerages, mm-hmm, is usually, you're right. Why don't you go get your own customers? Why don't you go secure that business? Go ahead. And a lot of them do, and a lot of them are good at it. Some of them aren't. But, you know, I can't just call McDonald's and be like, hey, I got 30 minutes free. You got any deliveries needing to be done? Like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, most likely it isn't. And it's really about having access to customers, access to, like, the platforms. Because, I mean, yeah, if you go back to, like, Uber or, like, DoorDash or, like, what is the other one called? Like, Grubhub?
Yeah, there's Grubhub. There's a bunch of
customers, then you don't really have a job.
There's so many weird ones.
So it cuts both ways.
I'll let you finish your thought before I go on that tangent. Do you know, like, how big the cut is
on these apps?
We are having some issues today.
Yeah, kind of weird. Did you hear what I said at the end?
I did not.
I said, do you know like what the cut is for a lot of these apps? Like what they take when they offer people like jobs or gigs?
Well, it's tough. I don't. So they pretty infamously, most of them, operate at a loss.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Because a lot of them are, they market themselves more as tech companies, mm-hmm, than I mean, they operate as a logistical company, but a lot of these things are basically like tech companies that do logistics, and they're building up value. It's like an idea. Like Netflix ran at a deficit forever, and I think they very occasionally turn a profit. They're like the only streaming service that turns a profit, but like they're super valuable. Same with how Twitter used to be. I'm not saying that. Same with how Twitter used to be. Uber, I'm pretty sure, always operates at a loss. There was actually some controversy, I remember, when I still kind of paid attention to that world, where they people thought that they were cutting into their tips, DoorDash was. The official company statement was absolutely not, tips are only for the driver. And to be honest, the amount I saw for tips was usually pretty consistent with how much, you know, it's, you'd get a $5 tip. You're not getting like a $4.77 tip usually, you know, so I didn't really buy that, but there was a lot of distrust out there.
Yeah, that's another big problem. It's a lot of like a theft, tip theft. There we go.
Yes.
A lot of wage theft. We can kind of like move beyond like these typical apps, because there are a lot of other platforms that also provide like people like with gigs. I don't know if you're familiar with things like websites like Upwork.
Yes. So I have a friend, I don't know which one he did, but it's one of those gig apps where people basically outsource office work to you. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, I need this spreadsheet done or something like that. So he would do that.
Yeah. So you have like Upwork and I don't know. And Fiverr. There you go. I was trying to think of the other name, which, you know, like with Uber, Lyft, Grubhub, all these apps, it involves you physically going somewhere and doing something. Whereas like Upwork and Fiverr, they don't really necessarily make you go anywhere. Have you ever used them?
No, but I don't know if you're, so I more think of Fiverr as like a celebrity cameo thing. Like you can pay a celebrity or someone to like record a funny video or something for you.
I know that's a different website. I know what you're thinking about, but I don't know.
You do that on Fiverr too?
You can pretty much do anything on Fiverr. This isn't like a paid, like an ad or anything.
Not an ad. Be an ad.
Yeah, it could be an ad. No, I'm double checking. The website you're referring to is called Cameo.
I know about Cameo.
Yeah. But on Fiverr, it's just basically you post a job and someone applies for it. And it can be really anything as long as it's legal. as long as it's legal. Upwork is like the same thing. I tried to use both websites. I found them to be awful because every time I tried to sign up for them, I was overrun by bots. I kept getting like fake job offers from like some random bots from like a bunch of different countries. And so it just kind of killed my motivation. But for those who kind of stick it out, I tried twice and I failed. there's a lot of money to be had. So I think people are, especially because of the pandemic and like with like the furloughs and layoffs and all that, people are really trying to figure out like, how can I fend for myself? Like, how can I be independent? And companies are trying to reduce their dependency on like workers because they're a liability and they cost money.
They sure do. The gig economy, like, it's convenient for mm-hmm. consumer and the people participating in it. It is not a good thing overall. Like, there are some people that do these things full time and they make great money. They don't have insurance. They don't, you know, they don't have a lot of protections. They don't have paid time off. I mean, you might be making more in cash, but it can add up.
That is the thing, is that they're not employees. So that's really, you're in it for the money and nothing else. So yeah. You have no security. You have no protection. You're pretty much just on your own.
Yeah. I totaled my car doing DoorDash.
Oh, you should have mentioned that at the beginning.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know how I'm only thinking of that now, but yeah, I was making a delivery. And a high school kid turned out in front of me on a blinking yellow arrow, and mm-hmm. I T-boned him. And it wasn't that bad of an accident. I saw him and hit the brakes, but my car was still totaled out. And, you know, I was DoorDashing full, you know, as my only source of income at that time. And I had auto insurance, so I got a rental, and I DoorDashed a little bit in the rental, but it definitely put a ding in my income for a while. And that's just one of the risks you take. And then, of course, wear and tear on your vehicle. They don't pay for that, and they're not paying for your gas. I think Uber had some, like, I remember when I signed up, you could get like deals on tires and repairs at certain locations, but you had to be like a certain tier of driver. So like the more drives you did, you like leveled up, because these apps are very gamified. Like there's all these stats and goals to meet just to try to like push the, you know, the monkey brain inside of all of us that likes to see the numbers go up. But I don't know. I kind of enjoyed that part of it, but it's usually not in your favor to do that. And they would do bonuses sometimes, like, hey, here's basically like a game quest. If you can fulfill these parameters, you'll get a little bonus.
Yeah, that's an interesting
I don't think point. I ever did.
That's an interesting point you bring up, is that everything has to be a game. Like all of the social media apps, like the gig apps, they're all structured like games. The dating apps as well. I believe the founder of Tinder said that he modeled Tinder after like poker or like card games, because like the swiping and everything, to make it more addictive. So a lot of these things are super geared towards people who want to game.
Although and for that's... me, it's... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, for me, it's a bit too silly. I don't know how you feel about it, though.
So I don't mind when it's not used for evil, right? So yeah. Like I have two fitness apps on my phone, MyFitnessPal and Fitbit for my Fitbit. Mm-hmm. And they are both pretty gamified, but it's not like it's trying to squeeze money out of me. I mean, I pay for premium on both of them, but it's not like, oh, do this thing that's against your interest and you'll score a better point. Like, no, I mean, it just, like, my Fitbit app, you know, assigns a readiness score to me every day, depending on how much sleep I got and how much exercise I did yesterday, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it logs how many days of the week I've done exercise and how many hours of the day I've been active. Like, that's fine. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And the part of me that likes to see things get completed is motivated by that to do better.
Well, I mean, that's harmless.
Yeah.
But like a lot of these apps use...
Oh yeah, more often than not, it's for evil.
Yeah, it's definitely for evil.
it's absolutely not good. And before I forget, you mentioned DoorDash and Uber Eats back during COVID.
Yeah.
So that's when I was the most active, and that was such a bizarre time. I mean, I know it was a bizarre time for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But I would go into, first of all, it was really the only option there was to get a lot of this food. So the business was pretty good. And it was kind of in that kumbaya period of COVID where everyone was, you know, staying home. Stay home, watch Tiger King, blah, blah, blah. We are the world. Videos getting uploaded. So people tipped pretty good. And it was so bizarre. You go into these restaurants, pretty much all the lights are out. People are like, half the people working there are just wearing casual clothes. And it was just a bunch of DoorDash drivers standing around, you know, 6 feet away from each other in our masks, waiting for the food. And that's how they basically all were. You know, there was no sit down at the restaurant.
Yeah, I definitely remember that. So we don't really have, like, obviously we have like food delivery here. It's definitely not as prevalent or present as it is in the US. We have our groceries brought to us. So like there's a service here called Picnic that you can use, and they bring you your groceries. But they're not like gig employees, like they're employees of the company. So like they're actual workers, like they're, if you want to be more American, they're W-2. They're not like 1099.
Yeah, like an old school pizza delivery guy.
Yeah. So they're like real workers. So like we don't have like really a tipping culture here. So like when they bring us our food, we give them like $2 or $3, which would cause like a lot of outcry in the U.S. But here it's not really that big of a deal, which encourages us to order more from the company, because we're not paying 20% for our groceries. I couldn't imagine ordering $100 in groceries and paying 20% of that in tips. I just couldn't do it. That's a lot of money.
Well, and those groceries are, the way these apps work, they upcharge on everything. That's how they make their money. Like you can, it's funny. So you could pull up like, you could pull up McDonald's on Uber Eats, for example, and then you can pull up the McDonald's app and look at things like one-to-one, and it's all more expensive on the delivery app because that's where they make their money.
Yeah, and that is definitely, it's funny that we mentioned that towards the end, but yeah, that's definitely where they get you, is you pay for the convenience. And I think like with a lot of these gig things, the only people who really win are the customers, because they pay for the convenience. And a lot of the money doesn't really end up in the pockets of the people who are actually providing the service. But I couldn't imagine doing, I mean, I have respect for people who do it, whether or not they have a choice, but I couldn't imagine just doing a job and not knowing what you're going to get at the end. So it's kind of like Russian roulette.
I mean, it was kind of fun in that extent. Like, I was financially secure enough that it wasn't like, I need to make X dollars today or I'm not making rent. I am. That's probably awful. But I was in an okay enough spot where it was like, oh, it said $7 on this one, and I know that that means there's probably hidden money. I wonder what it's going to be. And there was one time where it was $7.01. Like, someone tipped a penny. But
that's nasty.
But it was like, it could be kind of fun. Like, cause sometimes you got that $30 tip and you rode that high. It was kind of like gambling in a way. And,
but just like gambling, the house always wins. So you're never really going to come out on top.
No. And I will say, as far as work goes, like, you spend most of the time in your car listening to podcasts or music. I actually remember the day I had my car totaled. I was listening to a true crime podcast. I don't think I ever went back to it. Probably just because, it wasn't that great. And two, it was like, I don't usually associate bad memories with things. And like, I can kind of logic through it. But it was like, man, I'm not going back to this okay podcast that I wrecked my car listening to. I hope nobody out there has gotten in a car wreck listening to ours.
I hope not either. I hope we only provide good memories, good feelings.
But yeah, tangent of tangents. It was a true crime podcast, and I just remember them being like, true crime is fascinating, but there are people who like almost sound like too enamored with it. Like they get excited. And I kind of got that vibe from them, and I'm like, oh, that feels weird. Like, let's not like cheer this on or like have too much fun with it.
That's definitely true. Yeah, I think about it a lot. But that's a very interesting topic. We should definitely touch on that.
Yeah,
in the near future.
And then one thing I did want to talk about, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and it kind of loops into what we're talking about now with these gig apps. With how expensive, especially, I don't know how it is internationally, but inflation of food prices is like way over standard inflation in the US. So like a lot of fast food places have like doubled in price in recent years. It's just about like what it costs to eat at a sit down restaurant. And if you tack a delivery fee, delivery upcharge, delivery service charge, because there's somehow always something to tack on, plus delivery tip, You could do a McDonald's order for one person. That could be like $25, $30. It's insane. So I think a lot of, like how we talked about before, people are eating less fast food. People are definitely having less fast food delivered.
Yeah, I definitely do not eat a lot of fast food. I definitely don't eat McDonald's. It's way too expensive, honestly. Fast food in Europe is incredibly expensive compared to the U.S. I'd like to say it's better in terms of quality. I don't actually believe that, though. Sometimes it feels like it is.
It's probably mostly about the same. Again, I think there's like three things here that are still reasonable. It's like Subway, Wendy's, and Taco Bell.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And I can't really say I want to pay to have any of those things delivered to me.
Yeah, on a final note, because we're coming to a close here, my wife and I were driving home, and we saw someone delivering McDonald's. So it was like the McDonald's car. So like McDonald's has its own like delivery service. Oh my God,
that's hilarious.
It is hilarious because when I was a child, I was like, how cool would it be to have McDonald's delivered, like pizza gets delivered? You know, that was just like a fantasy of mine as a kid. Because like, why don't they deliver like McDonald's or Burger King? Because they deliver pizza. And now my dream has come true, but I don't actually care anymore. And it's, so like Burger King, McDonald's, they have their own delivery service here.
That's like that's the whole thing. When you're a kid, you'd like to eat candy for every meal. And then when you become an adult, you choose not to. This is like the fast food version of that. One thing I did want to tack on before we leave, I guess this is more of a tip, I guess. So like I said, DoorDash orders shows projected total pay to drivers before they accept the order.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't tip or you tip low on a DoorDash order, there's a very good chance your food's going to take a while. Now you should, in the US, tip them something. But if you're ordering an Uber driver or Uber Eats, you tip after the fact.
Oh.
So you're probably not going to have your order bounced around to a million drivers waiting for your food on Uber. And Uber drivers are more incentivized for their metrics and their tiers to accept more stuff. So if for some reason you really don't want to tip that much, Uber's the service for you.
Well, you heard it.
Yeah, you heard the glowing review.
Yeah. All right, so with that being said, I don't have anything else to say. You got your final point?
I think that was my final.
All right. Sorry again for being gone so long, so hopefully we'll be on a regular schedule up until I leave at the end of July. Thanks so much for listening. Stay safe, and we'll catch you all the next one.
Bye.
All right. Bye. We really appreciate you taking the time to listen to our podcast. We hope that it was informative and that we were able to expand your worldview, even if only just a little.
Welcome feedback, comments, and constructive criticism. If you'd like to provide us with any, please reach out to us at our Discord or email address, both of which will be listed in the description.
Thanks again for listening, and until next time.